Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big goings on in Mac this week. We're minus a lighting rig because we used it in the gym last night for a shoot with a chap and a lady. And we've got it still over there. And the two guys that own the gym aren't here. They're in Leicester, so I can't get it out. So I'm trying to light it with a desk lamp here and the backdrop lights. And it seems to be doing all right, actually. I think I've wasted my money on a gantry. Joining me to discuss the week in all the things Apple, starting us off when he's finished his slurp of coffee. I'll give him a few seconds to clear his mouth, and then I'll go to Adam. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Connection issues today.
Yeah, I've been having a general problem with my network. There's some kind of thing that's causing like lots of latency.
You've been having problems with your Cox?
Yeah. That's my cable provider. I don't know if it's them. No, I think it's me. I think there's something on my network that is making everything go slow.
Oh, right.
So it's like a latency issue. My internet connection is fine generally, although it was degraded. So I don't know.
Who knows?
It's a whole host of problems. You know, I never wanted to be a network engineer, and now I have to be because I've got, you know, I don't know how many computers and IP addresses. And I think we all have had to turn into that, right? Like everything's yep. connected to the internet. So I've got, you know, I'm running a network with probably, there has to be at least 50 IP addresses on this network. I'm sure at least 50 devices, maybe more.
So frustrations aside, are you well?
I'm good.
Good, man. Excellent. Next to him, making a two times in 2 weeks, he's returned. It's William Green. Where you're like a West Midlands Council bus, mate. I don't see you for 2 years, and then you come twice in 2 weeks.
I know. I wouldn't like to say I'm like a West Midlands. Well, National Express. I did their website, so I know all about National Express, West Midlands. But I'm more reliable. Ish.
Okay. Have you had a good week?
Yeah, I've had a great week.
Good, thank man. You. Excellent.
And he's representing with the six color socks, I think.
Oh, do you like those?
Let's see the socks. Come on, show the socks to everyone. He can't hear you now because he's dropped his audio loop. Is it still working?
I made him break it.
Oh, well, have you busted it? Can you still hear me talking?
No, I can.
Can you hear me talking, Will? Is it switched on? There you go.
He's back.
Put it on your lap, mate. It's got a clip on it, so you can put it on your belt as well. Don't shove it up your ass.
I don't want to shove it up my ass.
No, your camera's over here, mate. Your camera's over. There you go. There's the multicoloured socks. Look at his socks.
Do you like them?
He's got a few white balance issues, but they're damn fine-looking socks, mate.
Oh, I thought they were Apple socks, though. I thought they were six colours.
Oh, do they still do those ones?
No, but we use those.
Ewan has a set.
I did have a set, yeah, because we used them for Ellis.
Sure what he puts them on. They're rather small. But
I put them on my son when he was small. He had odd socks with Apple logos on. But you're well, though, Will. That's a good thing.
Yes, I'm very well. Thank you ever so much.
Excellent, mate. We had some feedback about your participation in last week's show.
Oh, really? Was it good?
It was all good, actually. We've had two people mention how great it was to see Will back.
Well, it's nice to be back.
There you go. So you're a regular now. Back to the band's back together, dude. next to him, it's Patrice.
Hi, guys.
What's been happening in Patrice world?
A lot. I mean, this week was our quarterly release planning week, so a lot of people came to Koblenz. Two guys from the US, and it was just stressful long days and a lot of parties and all of that. But yeah, week is over, so time for the weekend.
Excellent. Party on. I'm working tonight, which is why I've not got a beer in my hands. And I'm not doing the big show later. I'm going to do the Mac show today. Welcome, mate. Glad you're okay. Next to him, it's James in a hot, sweltering France.
Look at this. I've got my sunglasses out and everything. Busy
bastard.
Week. don't hate the haters, mate. It's all good. I got a taste of England today. I bounced back for only for 3 days. I got to take the drone out and do a little bit. Well, one of my first adverts, really. It'd be pretty cool. So I'm working on that. But it did make me go so happy to get back to France because Ryanair cancelled my flight last minute, which is great. And the hire company didn't want me to take the car back to East Midlands, which meant I had to either take it back at short notice, as in half four at night, or pay 200 quid.
And which did you do?
So, and well, I took it back. I suffered. Basically, it was a four-hour turnaround from taking my car there just to be given another set of car keys to drive back to lovely Shropshire to go back to Birmingham the next day. What a farce. Anyway, it made coming back to France 10 times sweeter. So here I am, I'm back. But yeah, excellent. Good week otherwise. Good to visit the homeland.
Good. The week in Apple, all the shiz that's gone on. Tim's been visiting our shores as well, which we'll talk about in a minute. But we've had an email. We've got an email from Alice who says, why are you lot banging on about the iOS stuff being in the apps in the App Store, being in iTunes? The App Store is on iOS devices. iTunes for Mac will let you back it up using encrypted backups. There's also iCloud to back up to. Since iCloud, I don't use iTunes for backing up at all.
It's not about backups.
It's not about backups. And, no. I mean,
all of that is true. It is true.
Thank you. Thanks for writing for a start, Alice. It's really kind of you. And it is a true statement. There is nothing wrong with what Alice has said there in the slightest. But
correct.
So why are we all upset that the iOS App Store is not in iTunes anymore? I know I kind of am, but not to the point that I'm spitting venom. But
for me, it's about browsing on the Mac. Really, that's mm-hmm. the thing I miss the most. And Apple has actually created its own little weird problem too that they didn't address, which I just feel is stupid. Yeah. I mean, they knew they were going to make this choice. That's fine. But now any link, you know, because you could link to apps on the App Store. So now any link that links from Safari or from any browser on your Mac to the App Store, it now does this weird thing where it goes to the web, right? Because they had the little web page. That web page redirects you to iTunes. iTunes goes, oh, we don't have an App Store anymore. And then it redirects you back to the web page. And plus that web page doesn't have all the information and you can't browse other stuff. So exactly. it's poorly executed is mostly what I'm upset about. It's like it's like they didn't think it through, and it's just another example where recently, you know, and I hate to bash on Apple, but recently there's been a lot of stuff that feels like they didn't think it all the way through. Like they made a decision and the decision seems okay at first pass, but then it's like, wow, you guys really didn't think about all the way to the end of this decision. And in the past, it seems like they did. And this is not a Steve thing. This is just something, you know, I think it's mostly an Apple just getting too big thing.
I think for me, I've been sort of frustrated with iTunes for a while now.
Everybody has.
So iTunes originally, if you remember, sort of back in the day, Adam, it was just music, wasn't it? That's what it was. iTunes. Then they brought video into it. Then they brought games into it. And it's become a little bit mad. And then they brought apps into it as well. And there are sort of four different types of media that I think, and I've been saying for a long time, that they should be split apart.
Yeah. Don't forget podcasts, too.
Podcasts, yeah, exactly.
Audiobooks are in there.
Those got pulled out a while back, I think, audiobooks, right?
Yeah.
Isn't iTunes U still in there, though?
No,
that got pulled out this last round, too.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I totally agree. It was about time that they split it up. I don't care that it doesn't have any apps anymore. But I agree with Adam that, yeah, this whole link debacle is just poorly executed. I mean, it was easy enough to simply remove this redirect to iTunes from the page and simply say, okay, we don't do that anymore. So why would we, I mean, just remove the code.
I'm working this weekend now and I've got a bloody... Get rid of your...
Take out the peeps.
Sorry.
Can we all say it while he's done that?
Yeah, get it out of your system, fellas.
I would say, though, this took me completely by surprise. Now, you talk to somebody who uses this stuff every day. And it was the only other day I was going, hello, Where's it gone? I end up restarting my Mac, thinking there's something wrong with me iTunes. And I'll be absolutely honest with you, you've just told me a reason why I can't find it.
I love the fact that this has crept
the Mac.
I love the fact that this has crept up on you in the last 7 days, despite the fact we discussed this on last week's show, which is why Alice wrote to us.
Yeah,
I must have been daydreaming.
Wakey, wakey, James. Wakey, wakey.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, James.
No, go on. He wasn't getting anything interesting.
I think he was going to finish. No, he was getting into something.
No, he's bubbling his lip. Go on.
I was just going to say the other thing that I felt this was bad for is just developers again for the browsability factor. I know a lot of people, and I've received emails since this change from a lot of people who said, you know, I used to browse the app store. I used to enjoy browsing the app store and just finding stuff on my Mac. You know, it's a really different experience. And again, a lot of times for me, it's you go in and you click one of those web links because, you know, you're reading an article on maybe on your Mac and somebody wrote up about some app. And very often I found myself where I'll click that, I'll land on the app store on my Mac, be browsing through, and then find something else or see something else interesting and maybe even buy something, you know, a new game or something that just popped up. And so they've kind of taken that away and they haven't really offered a replacement. And getting back to Will's statement, I think absolutely correctly, you know, we're at a point where Apple needs to basically replicate what they did on iOS on the Mac. But once again, they've chosen to sort of take away one part and not replace it with anything. And that's really, it's just weird. You know, they create this broken experience and I fully expect they're going to replace it with something, whether that means an app store or they're going to roll it into the Mac app store where you have in the app store app, you now have Mac apps and iOS apps. I don't know what the ultimate end game is. They could even just do it on the web. I mean, there's no reason I can't, because the whole entire app store actually is a giant website. You know, it's just like a wrapper. The app was always just, or iTunes is really just a wrapper for a web interface. So there's no reason why they couldn't just let us browse the apps right there on the web, even purchase and buy them on the web, and then they just show up, you know, on your iOS devices or, you know, automatically. So I don't know. It's just, again, it just feels like an unfinished thought. It's just like, we need to get rid of this. Okay, let's just turn it off. But they didn't really provide any information. And like James was saying, just caught everybody off guard. It was like, whoa, you know, it was in a point release. It wasn't even in a major, you know, it was like from 0.6 to 0.7, boom, gone.
I was going to say, I was going to compare it to like Front Row in terms of discoverability, but actually with Front Row, yes, you had to scroll through it, but at least you got all of the content that you had and you wanted.
Right.
Whereas with this, I mean, Alice, from my viewpoint, it is purely finding stuff that I might be interested in. Because at the moment, and I think the great example is AR. You look at AR, I pull up the AR apps, it says see all, and it gives me 20 to look at. Now, I'm willing to believe that the rest of them are just cowbell with AR, if you like, FAR application level AR. And that's fine. But that should be my choice to find them and see them. And with the phone, I cannot drill down into AR. I get what Apple want to feed me, and it's not the hundreds of applications that are out there. It's the ones they want to show me. And I haven't got time then to sit and go through while I'm on the toilet looking for AR apps. So I used to come to work, and there'd be something where a video was rendering out or something like that, and I thought, I'll open the iTunes store, and I'd browse through apps and see if there were apps that I really like to play.
How would you... Sorry.
You know, I have the same issue with 4K content right now because I'm looking for 4K content on the App Store or in the iTunes Store, basically. And I mean, you can really only find the things that Apple shows you on the front page. There's a section, I think there are even two sections. One is for 4K HDR and one is for just for standard 4K. And that's about it.
Yeah, see all is not all.
No.
See all is the 20 that they
want.
I mean,
I don't know, but I don't think so.
Go on, Will. You were saying something.
Oh, no. It's sort of ridiculous. I don't know about yourself, but in the morning, when I wake up, I go to the toilet and I take my phone and I look at the BBC News. Only because you said when you're sitting on the toilet.
Yeah, no, but I like I said, I've always wanted to start a company called Morning Motion Software, which is just stuff that you do in the bug in the morning. And it was interesting as well. One of the applications I recommended last week, someone pointed out that it was, I think I recommended Flip Diving.
Yeah, was it? It was the Flip Diving. Yeah.
And it's made by Motion something. I can't find it now, but it's made by Motion something software or Motion. Oh, I can't remember. But Tom BF sent me a note saying it was ironic that that it was that. But yeah, I mean, I think people who make games for the bug are minted.
But I think a lot of people, whether you're in the toilet or whether you're not, we all have our sort of pattern, don't we? Which is, for myself, it's check my bank account, see if there's any money in there, check the BBC for news, and check my email. And those are the few things I do. What has this got to do with the topic? Nothing, I don't think.
it's a good rat hole.
Was where Ewan likes to browse apps, I think.
I like browsing apps on my desktop. I don't like browsing them on my phone because I feel cheated on the phone because I don't feel they tell you anything. They don't tell you enough on the phone.
Yeah, it's true enough.
They don't give you enough on the phone. That's Alice's comment. Thank you, Alice, for writing in.
I've actually stopped browsing apps for the most part. I mean, I do what Adam does. I will find a link somewhere and will read about it, and then maybe while I'm looking at the page, discover something else.
Oh wow!
Sorry, Patrice. I was let a sheep in here. No, it's true, because if you don't fight this stuff, you're just going where people tell you to go, where corporate America tells you to go, and that can't be good. I want to find the indies.
I remember a time the App Store had just come out, and I remember getting a coffee on some holiday, and I opened up my original iPhone, the original iPhone, it must have been, and I went through the whole App Store while drinking a coffee with my thumb. I just remember going, I've seen every single app that's available right now. Can you imagine that? You couldn't thumb through the whole thing now, could you?
No, you can't. That's the point. You say I want to see all of the AR apps, and you can't. You cannot find them unless you see a press release or The Verge reviews it or 95 Mac reviews it or something like that. You don't find them. Yep. How they find them, I don't know. Darren G says he uses Apple News all the time. It's replaced Slipboard for me. I'm presuming that he means on the bog in the morning. And Magic Man's late, so he needs to get the conical hat and stand in the corner.
Well, you know the answer for finding apps is people just need to. Watch the Mac show and the picks of the week.
Well, no, absolutely. And if you're a developer and you've got an application you want us to showcase for you, send it in. We'll gladly play with it, and we'll gladly tell people it's out there, especially AR, because I'm into the AR at the moment.
And you really and I'll tell them it's it. Shit.
I won't. I love the AR at the moment. I've found better. No, at the moment, AR is kind of like, because it's new, it's either better.
It is.
It's either good or it's better. It's not, there's no shit yet, so I have to wait and see.
Well, no, there's a lot of garbage, but there's a lot of great. It seems to fall on one end or the other, I think.
Virtual
camera. There's no middle ground.
Is there any link? Is there any plan for the next story when it comes to AR and Tim Cook?
No, because we're doing the next bit, which is Rich, one of our contributors, sent in a picture for an acquaintance who got an Apple Watch 3, and within a couple
of weeks,
there you go, expanding battery.
Oh dear!
Expanded battery.
Expanded battery. Yeah. Oh. So the battery has forced the screen off.
Wow.
Whether it still works or not, I'm not sure. But we're talking a brand new Watch 3.
So. Yeah, it happens. Yeah. I mean, this is the thing: you've got to get to the actual number of cases, and we'll never really know that. But it's one in, I forget what the number is. It's something like on average one in, I want to say 100,000. Can't remember. There is an actual sort of.
Always been the case, though.
It's always been the case. There is a number. There's a failure rate for expansion like that on lithium ion batteries, and there's a tolerance. And with the number of devices that Apple sells, you've got to look at, okay, how many millions of watches are out there and how many have had it, or iPhones or whatever it might be. And this goes for any product that has a lithium ion battery in it.
What about iPhone
8?
Again, we know of stuff, yeah. I think a total of 7 cases of the iPhone 8
not lots.
Battery expansion.
Well, I think awareness has been raised because of the Galaxy Note 7, hasn't it? So people are noticing those stories. It's just the trend.
The news is sensitive to it. So. But again, you have to know that the number that have occurred, the total number that occurred, and the total number of devices that were shipped, and only Apple knows that. And so we in some ways are just at the mercy of trusting them to say, this is a problem, we need to do a recall, or this is not a problem, this is within the normal tolerance. And so far, how it seemed is like a lot of these things seem to be, we can assume, within the normal tolerance, but who knows?
Yeah,
I mean, Paul Dixon in the chat room says that you're always going to get some failures that are going to occur in anything that you've got. Absolutely, there's got to be a tolerable rate of failure. The one thing I will say, though, is Crikey Trousers in the Slack room wrote to me, and he bought the GoPro 6, and he said he had trouble getting the battery out, and it's the same battery as in the 5. But when he did finally get it out, he put his 5 battery in, and his 5 battery slid in. And now when he puts the 6 battery in that he got, which is the same battery, in inverted commas, he has trouble shoving it in because it's expanded before he got it. So I think there is a correlation, at least, between this 4% battery stuff and the things swelling up and the offset against what's the ridiculous safety issue with
thing I mentioned last week.
That's bullshit. Yeah. Absolute crap. I mean, there's no increase in safety from having a 4% battery life.
Definitely. Yeah, I've heard 1 in a million is the expected failure rate for lithium-ion batteries. So if you look at how many iPhones Apple sells, that's sounds about right.
Yeah. Go on, James, you said?
I'm just saying that, you know, it's not okay to have this sort of problem, but it's how they deal with it as you as a user, which is, for me, is the most important part. You know, and I think that's where Apple can pick itself up and go, yeah, just swap it straight away and get you a new working model. You know, that's what you're paying for a lot of time is, yes, we can have nice things, and if they go wrong, I think that's what Apple wins every time, is the fact they can deal with it very quickly and easily, and that's why I buy Apple stuff, you know.
Yeah, we've got to the bottom of line one issues as well, I think. The sound card's gone in the Mac, so we did extensive testing, and it's the sound card's gone in the Mac. So I've got a Genius Bar appointment on Monday. We will see what happens. I shall report back on next week's show.
Solihull?
I am at Solihull, yes. Why are you coming? No?
I wish.
No.
I wish.
Right. Tim's been on his travels. Tim has been to Stockholm and spoken at the Swedish Apple offices. He's also been and lectured at Oxford University, no less, here in Blighty. And he's also been talking to someone else that I can't remember the name of. I've had a listen to it briefly with Will just before we started, and I've got to say, the Oxford University speech that I listened to, I was pretty impressed. He came out with some really good stuff there, some quite enlightening things. A few little anecdotes about Jobs. How he thought he was originally just a flip-flopper who would just go with the trend and change his mind at a whim, but then realized he wasn't. He just wasn't anchored by, rhetoric or something like that. And there was a whole pile of stuff about his beliefs on the future of Mac, including there's a fair old bit on AR, and he's saying that he thinks that retailers are going to see AR as important as websites at one point.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Anyone else listen to it?
Not yet. I haven't had time for it, but I'm definitely going to do that. I mean, after what you just said.
All right, we'll talk about it next week then, eh? Will, you've listened to it, mate.
Yes, I listened to it. He sort of compared AR to AI, and he was very much on the AR side of things.
He said it was the thing he was most excited about.
Yes, it was. And he said he can't think of a particular single business sector that he knew about that wouldn't, you know, these innovations wouldn't be relevant to. I think at the start now, it's pretty much a game, isn't it? You know, like you play golf, or you get a basketball and you chuck it into a hoop, or you get a monster who's sort of bouncing around your living room or something like that. But I think he's thinking long. Is it long game? Is that right?
The long game.
Yeah. He's playing a long game.
Yeah. And so he's looking at this and sort of trying to envisage, as far as business is concerned, in which direction, where they could take this. What do you think?
I think, a lot of stuff he was saying, he got a clear handle on what was going on, and I'm a bit flippant about Apple sometimes, but I felt rather like he was, you're on, mate, don't tap the mic, it's fine. I thought he was on with some really good ideas, and he said that when he gets up at ungodly hours, he likes to spend the first hour of every day going through customer emails. And I can't believe, those are filtered, I'm presuming, but because he wouldn't do many in an hour.
That
is kind of cool. And he sees Apple staying in touch with consumers as being a key goal.
I mean, I remember one instance when working for the Apple Store, that a customer had sent an email to Tim saying how much he enjoyed my workshop. And what was funny was that Tim had actually read it at, I think it went through, because it was time stamped, and it was 3:15 in the morning. And what Tim had done is he'd taken that email, sent it to the head of our our area in the UK, which was then forwarded to our store manager, which then was forwarded to me. So I got to see that timestamp all the way back from when Tim had actually read that first email. So I can honestly say that you're right, he reads emails at ungodly hours in the morning, and that he does read them. And I think that's just fab. You know, the fact that I got sort of kudos, if you like, a customer who'd come to see my workshop spent the time to send that email, but to actually go through and know that it goes to Tim, I thought was just brilliant.
Are you sure you didn't get confused between the two of us? Was it me who gave the workshop, or was it you?
Oh, now then, James, have we got a bit of a crooked memory there?
Oh, mate, I think Steve Jobs is still in business when you were there, mate.
Was he? Yes, I think he probably was, actually.
Yeah,
I think he was. It was one of my highlights of my career, having an email from Tim.
No, I definitely remember Tim coming up to me and saying...
Do you want to change your story?
No, I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah, okay, all right, mate, keep going then. Keep digging, dude.
And to be honest, James, I saw a load of your sort of presentations and workshops and stuff, and they were brilliant, so I don't blame him.
Don't kiss ass now.
Well.
So where's the email now then, James? James, where's the email now? Did you leave it with the vinyl in England, or did you take it out?
We weren't allowed to forward our work emails to our current one, so it's one of those sad things that I had to leave it behind. But just knowing that he does read his emails, I think it should be powered to people that if you visit an Apple store and you enjoy serves you or whatever you do, and you email Tim Cook, he might actually read it.
You should have been able to allow to redact all the body of it, but just had dear James, love Tim. And that was it.
I had one from Steve Jobs.
You had an email from Steve Jobs.
I had an email from Steve Jobs.
Was that when they
Jobs.
Sacked you? I mean,
pretty
sorry.
Much. No, that was when I was an extra. And what I just did basically is copy and paste the text. And I kept that, and I can share it with you.
Now that, see, that makes, that's why you're a proper innovator, Will Green. A real innovator. You use cut and paste where James looked and went, I'm not allowed to.
All the rules.
As long as it doesn't say, what a wanker, love, Steve.
You didn't say that.
Loyal foot soldier Rickards takes one for the team.
Well, Jim and I worked together for it was about a year, I think, Jim? Something like that?
Something like that, young Wilster. I've still got, I'll tell you what I have got. I've got my congratulations, you've been selected. And that was the 24th of October, 2007. There you go. So,
your anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my... so, obviously, I got into Apple just as the iPhone was about to be launched.
Yeah,
how exciting is that?
You know, the day after you got everyone else got a free one. You told us that one.
Yeah.
Oh, we've done that story.
Yeah, yeah. Then you had a you had a heart attack the day after. That's right.
Move along, Jim. Old news.
It was, that was what it upset you so greatly. Magic Man says, interesting that everyone who knew Tim Cook told him not to take the job at Apple and should have stayed with Compaq. Who? Exactly. And the other bit that, that Will played, which I thought was really kind of cool, was the bit in the Oxford speech where he says, it's good to make sure that your heroes are dead. Why? Because then they don't disappoint you.
Oh.
that's a bit bizarre thing to say, isn't
no,
it?
No, it is. You look at all the stuff that goes on in the press, and they find out that, you know, the right. Rolf Harris stuff, the Jimmy Savile stuff, the Harvey Weinstein stuff, all of that stuff is just like, you know, if you had any kind of looking up at that kind of character, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, what have I done? I can't believe I looked up to this person.
Thank God Elvis went when he did, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, but he died having a crap on the toilet, so it's still not a big one, is it? Well, it was a big one for him, but that's what you get for eating bacon and eggs stuffed into a hollowed-out loaf every day.
I thought it was the banana sandwich, wasn't it? The deep-fried banana sandwich.
That's an amazing point. To this day, since his whole weird thing, I haven't watched a single Tom Cruise movie since the whole Oprah weird thing. Guy just creeps me out now.
I don't get the connection.
I don't know how we got from eating out hollowed out loaves and shitting yourself on the toilet and dying got us to Tom Cruise.
Well, because you said, you know, the quote of, you know, having, he's not one of my heroes or never was, but he, right. I enjoyed his films. But, you know.
Adam Francis Tom Cruise.
Hoping that that it's better to have heroes that are dead, you know. Like you were saying, in a lot of ways that's true.
It's a good point. I thought it was very good.
Another Weinstein movie when I see that stupid logo come up and not have a bad feeling about it. That sucks. And even if it's a good film and other people involved are great people, it ruins the whole thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what being a rapist does, mate. It taints the world that you touch. Right?
It impacts other great people who are probably great people. And now I have this bad feeling about, you know, every time that just like almost just want to block that out now.
Yeah, there you go. It's awful. There's the problem.
Are you going to go and try and kill Tom Cruise then? Because all your favorite heroes are dead.
Now we're going way too far.
Yeah, no, he can't say that live on air. He can only think it.
Oh, okay. I was only thinking that.
No, I don't have that problem. I just don't watch his films anymore.
Well, doesn't he look fantastic? I mean, the man's 60 or something. He looks brilliant.
Well, that's because he did that deal.
With the devil. Haven't you seen Vanilla Sky?
Yeah.
It's a great film.
That's not.
Going back to heroes.
Paul Dixon says, the show's really random today, but it does keep coming back to sitting on the toilet as a theme.
Yes, I've noticed that. I think we've touched on it about three times now.
Sorry, James, you were going to be serious. Go on.
No, I was going to say, meeting the heroes. Before I left Apple, I did meet Angela Herentz in the store on twice in the same day, and she was just fantastic. And I really mean, when we talk about people like Tim and Steve Jobs, and when they talk about the product, they talk about, you know, what's important to Apple and the role you play there. You know, she was just fantastic. She was sincere. She listened to everything I had to say, and obviously all my colleagues who got to meet her as well. Just an absolute inspirational woman to actually meet. You know, we sit on stage at the keynote recently, but when you work in Apple retail, she actually does a video once a week for Apple employees. And you kind of, you know, when people are American, they talk maybe a little bit funny. You probably don't take them too seriously, but definitely she was a lovely woman to meet. And with her behind the brand, you know, certainly going to go places.
You know, she does come across as very good.
Is that the woman who used to work for Next?
No, Burberry.
Burberry.
Oh, Burberry, yeah, right.
Okay. She's the one that stood up at the last keynote and said she was promoting a relaxed cervix. When she meant service, yeah. We use that as a title, and we haven't gone blocked from iTunes yet. We've gone down a few places in the ranks, though. iOS gained market share in most countries this summer, although Samsung drove gains for Android as well. Windows' phone is dead, of course. I'm sure they'll talk about that later on the big show with Righty. Tune in at 8 o'clock and do watch with him. But iOS seems to be improving. There are significant issues in production with the iPhone 10, allegedly, as well as. And there could be Apple Pencil support on iPhone in 2019.
You really think so?
I don't see why you'd want it, but okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Support for it is one thing, I suppose. For those of you who are craving a stylus.
That was the big thing, wasn't it? It amazed me when they brought out the Apple Pen, because that was Steve Jobs' big thing, that I do not want a stylus for
it's
the iPhone. Not,
but it's have you used the Apple Pencil?
No, I haven't.
Right, I'll show you the Apple Pencil on my iPad later. But it's
amazing.
It's not a stylus. It's absolutely not a stylus.
Steve said was actually that you failed if you need a stylus, and that's definitely not the case with the iPad. I mean, you could just go. I mean, just use it with your finger. But with a stylus, and for certain tasks, it's amazing.
He was still referring to the phone as well. Remember, so yes, there is no stylus for the phone, right?
Yeah, but I think it goes more fundamental than that. In referring to the pencil as a stylus, I know technically it is, but it's way beyond. Beyond stylus, and it's only just started. I mean, I think if they do something, it was awesome. It was jaw dropping when it first came out. I still think it's jaw dropping now in terms of what's available to use and interface with the device. It's right up there with a Wacom tablet and beyond in some cases, with the touch sensitivity and that kind of stuff. But I think they have got to think about what they're doing next any time now, because it is starting to be, it's not old hat, but it's in terms of the product cycle, it's got, there is a leap to be made in the next 6 months to a year, most definitely.
But I mean, having support for the Apple Pencil and the iPhone is definitely not the next big thing.
No, it's not a big thing at all.
But what it is, it's better than anything in the market. Again, I probably spent the best part of a year and a half of my job as a creative, demonstrating that pencil to people. And I had people walking off the street who were designers, who were layout 3D models, etc. They picked up that pencil. I got to see firsthand their reaction, and they just couldn't believe how good it was. And I really mean that. I mean, this was before the iPad Pro 2 came out.
And how quick were they to get the most out of it as well as a device? Because it's one with artistic talent.
They weren't leaving without one. You know, I'd show it, and they said, "Oh, can I have a, I hear it's brilliant." I'd just watch them draw, and quite literally, their reaction was, "How much is it? I'll take one now." It's great when you see customers from all walks of life, be it using it in Microsoft Word or even Excel, to people who actually illustrate for a living. Watch them just like reach for their wallet and go, "Shut up and take my money." I sold loads, loads to people just to watch their face. Just draw. It was brilliant. Great product.
It's a great device, Will. I shall show you later. Yeah. I've got my iPad here. We just need to charge the pencil. That's all.
I mean, the great thing about it is it's an interface to creativity. Mm. You know, it's exactly what James is sort of talking about, that experience in the store. You got people coming in and picking up, and immediately it's a tool, not a piece of technology. It's a tool that lets them get whatever is in their head out in the best possible way, you know, at that moment. So, I mean, that's really what it's about. And it goes back to the core of Apple products that when they're done correctly is the thing that I love about Apple. And that is the technology melts away, and it's just the experience that you're left with. And when it's a good experience like that, it has to be applauded and raised up, because, you know, again, we don't always get those experiences. I think we get them more from Apple than maybe with some other companies. But, you know, when it really is spot on, it has to be said that it's spot on. And I think the Apple Pencil was one of those things.
So later on the line, then, you're saying that Steve Jobs was wrong.
No.
Adam of the podcast.
No, I'm saying Steve Jobs is absolutely right.
You didn't even listen to the last 10 minutes.
I have totally listened, but...
it's not a stylus. Steve Jobs was right. No one wants a stylus. And I think there's a good point in that if you start using the pencil with an iPhone, then you are kind of getting back to the stylus-esque kind of market. And it's an HP Jornada all of a sudden, rather than being the iPhone. And there's comments here in the chat room saying that Bob Beach says that the pencil is superb. Totally is. Hobbs says, I don't understand why you'd want it on an iPhone, but Paul Dixon says, maybe if they made a bigger iPhone, then a pencil might be more useful like the Note, but it doesn't interest me at all. But there is a thought in my mind, that if you're making a device that's got a touch screen, why are you blocking me from using the Apple Pencil I already have? Because that's not giving me choices.
So you can't use an Apple Pencil on an iPhone, is that right?
No, you can't. You can only use it on Apple devices, which is the iPad and the iPad Pro.
Because it doesn't transform the
hardware. Hardware.
It doesn't transform the experience in any way, I don't think. You know, on that small of a screen, even if you have a great drawing app, and there's some great drawing apps on there, even with a pencil, I don't think it vastly improves the experience. You're still trying to draw and deal with something too small. And even a large phone, I mean, even like the Plus is not.
Yeah.
I don't think it's large enough.
I agree, but I don't want to be told I can't. I agree, but I don't want to be told I can't equally.
That is essentially Apple. I mean, we have an opinion about things like that. And they say, okay, we don't see anybody doing this. We don't see that this would be a great experience. So we're not going to allow you to have that bad experience.
I didn't know anything about this, really. I knew that they'd released, let's call it a stylus for the moment. What's different between a stylus and an Apple Pencil? I don't understand.
It's the touch sensitivity of the pencil with the device that you're on, and the ability to turn it at different angles and get different broadnesses of nib and that kind of stuff. It's
almost like saying, what's the difference between a Mont Blanc pen and a disposable Bic?
It is. I'll show you later, and then you can come on next week, and you can tell us how wrong you were, Will.
Shut up! I'll be all right. I do find it weird that you can use it on an iPad, but you can't use it on an iPhone. Essentially, they're the same things, aren't they? Just one is bigger than the other.
But it's not a capacitive touch device. It's not like your finger. It's not like a capacitive ended thing. The tip of it needs its own receptors.
You also can't use it on your Magic Trackpad with your Mac.
It's not capacitive.
Yeah.
I'll show you after, because we're wasting time now, and everyone's going, Jesus Christ, Will, haven't you heard about the pencil? So I'll show you afterwards, and then we'll talk about it next week.
Okay. Right.
All iPhone models in 2018 are probably going to abandon the fingerprint recognition system. There will be no Apple devices with fingerprint recognition on anymore. I'm thinking that's only relating to mobile devices, though, not to the desktop.
How is that surprising?
No, I don't think it's surprising at all. I just think it's a bit sad because I still find, in my head, I'm still thinking the touch is securer.
You don't see the sensor bar, man, what's it called now? Making its way to notebooks?
It could do. Yeah. If you think that your MacBook Pro needs a pair of ears, go for it. Yeah.
I don't think it would end up with a pair of ears. I think it would go right where the current eyesight is. But
Exactly. There should be enough space for that in the current where the current eyesight is. So,
okay, James, what you say?
No, just chipping in that the fact that I think this little fella is, I forget that I'm wearing it. When I walk up to my Mac, it unlocks my Mac. It just always brings a smile to my face. It's one of those technologies which you forget exists, and that's what's great about Apple stuff. Is sometimes you walk up to your Mac and suddenly it just goes unlocking. You get a little pulse on your wrist, and the whole thing's done. It really is as close as to magic that I've ever felt when using a Mac, for sure.
It's actually jarring when you forget your Apple Watch.
or it doesn't work. I mean, that has happened to me a couple of times.
Yeah, what do you mean password? Put the password in.
Password. Yeah, no, I have a password.
I want one of these.
I still have a password.
But yeah, it's good.
Sorry, I yawned. not that I was bored by anyone. Not enough air in here. iOS 11 overtakes iOS 10, now installed on 47% of devices. Now, I've got to say, I feel like 11 has not been as quick as an uptake as 10. I'm probably going to be told I'm wrong because it's just my
finger. No, you're right, because it's got some issues. I'm recommending people hold off still.
I've got people saying they love it. Scott Small today on Twitter put out this morning. He said, I'm normally, you know, against updates to iOS's because I just think, well, it's working fine. Why are you fixing it? It's not broke on my current phone. But he said, I love iOS 11. And I've got to say, I do. I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. iOS
what's
11
it,
and WatchOS
4. What's it fixing for you?
It's not fixing anything. It just feels slicker. It feels better.
Yeah, and I agree with that. That's all great stuff. But the fact that I put my phone asleep in, you know, 10% of the time, I can't wake it back up for 30 to 60 seconds. That's not good.
Just the fact that we have had, what is it now, 3 point updates within a couple of weeks, I think that should tell you that there are quite some issues this time.
They're not big issues. They're not showstoppers, but if you don't like little annoyances when your device is working fine, I'm just saying you might want to wait till 11.1. You know, there's great stuff in there, and I'm not knocking that. I totally agree with it. But I've been telling people you might want to hold off because there's little niddly annoying issues. The battery life thing is still kind of wonky. It seems to be settling out. But the biggest one for me is this wake from sleep thing. I don't know what's going on with that. And I've talked to several people. I mentioned it on my show, and I've received many people saying, yep, I have that exact same issue. So I know it's a problem for some people. I don't know how widespread it is, but the one thing I will take back is I haven't done an erase and a restore of my phone, but I hate doing that. So
I would say I'm getting, especially I'm using the keyboard a lot. So anywhere between sort of Twitter, Facebook Messenger, and maybe even WhatsApp at what times, I'm actually getting the iPhone 10 bar appear at the bottom of the screen, as if it wants me to swipe up. So I'm getting a graphical issue. But also what I'm getting a lot of is the keyboard doesn't want to write itself either. So I'm in the middle of typing something, and then suddenly the keyboard does this weird landscape shift, and then the signature thing appears. I've never kind of sort of double-tapped my home button so many times to quit apps. But yeah, the iPhone 10 little bar thing appearing, I've seen that mainly in WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger. But also recently, Google Translate, I've used... Obviously, in France, I use Google Translate a lot. This little bar just appears at the bottom, and you kind of have to, let's say, double tap the home button and swipe away.
Obviously, I know all the differences between sort of iOS 10 and iOS 11. But for people who are listening to this podcast for the first time, they're new to Mac, what are the differences? I've no idea.
You know what?
No, hold on. Yes, I know exactly what the differences are, but
you nearly had that, Will. You nearly pulled that off.
I did, didn't I?
It was close.
It was close.
Yeah.
Apple.com/iOS, Will.
I was just going to comment, Bob Beach in the chat, and again, because I need to now clarify my statements from earlier. He mentions iOS 11 is a must upgrade for the iPad, and maybe that's the thing, Ewan. I don't know if you're talking more about the iPad or you're talking about more on the phone. I've had almost no issues with my iPad, and the iPad upgrade is awesome. It's the phone where there's little niggly things. So,
yeah, but what are the differences?
He's got us. He has got us, hasn't he?
You don't know, do you? None of you.
James is looking it up because he doesn't know.
I know. I mean, the file system is awesome. Drag and drop is awesome. Once you get used to it, the new multi-app switching methodology, it's annoying at first, but once you get it down, it starts to click and make sense. You know, the ability to open up an app and bring it into split screen on either side. Trying to think of some other things that I mean. The biggest one for me is files and drag and drop.
Yeah, the new control center I think is also superior to the previous version.
Control center is fantastic. Screen recording is brilliant.
Yeah.
For me, the screen recording is one of those ones you're just going, "How do I live without that?"
Rickards, you're reading a list. Don't you dare! I'm reading a frigging list on Google. You bugger!
I'm looking for this. Text I sent my friend, which shows the graphic glitch kicking off.
So yeah, you got to kind of talk about the stuff that you're really using. You know, I'm finding, you know, as always, it surprised me. I didn't think files was going to be that big of a deal to me, but I'm using it more and more. You know, it's sort of slowly creeping in, and I'm getting used to drag and drop. And that's just the problem with drag and drop is I was trained for the past, you know, what, 10 years to do something in a different way. And as more developers are adding in support for drag and drop and for the files system, it's really handy, you know?
Yeah. The new dock on the iPad is also pretty handy.
Yeah. New dock's excellent. I love that. Cause you've got so much more there. You can store. Ready to go. Here we go. He's got the space.
There you go. This
James has got the space.
So you can see there that the iPhone 10 has the bar appearing underneath it. And I was just in iMessage actually on this particular one. Like I said, it just seems to pop out more often than not, and it just means that I've got to quit the app.
Is it going to bug anybody else? Like, it bugs me that because the keyboard in that mode on the iPhone is not symmetrical, that bar is now, it looks weird because it's not centered on anything. It's like overlapping. Yeah. Every time I see one of the screenshots, I go, oh man, that's going to bug me every time. Just because, you know, being a designer and a graphics person, it's like, that's going to be annoying.
I'm hitting the at sign more often than not. I don't know why at is just appearing across all the things that I type. It's thrown me somewhat.
There is a weird thing that Apple did that somebody pointed out, and I don't know if they've changed it in the latest updates, but if you bring up the keyboard on an iPhone in landscape, Apple used to add extra buttons on the left and right. So you would get like cut, copy, paste on one side, and you'd get some of your basic punctuation on the other side, like period and stuff like that. For some reason in iOS 11 on the iPhone, they decided to eliminate that. And now you just get this blank space, which is really weird. And I had somebody bring this up in my user group meeting because he's like, I used the period all the time. It was really handy in landscape mode when I was doing messages or notes or something like that to not have to go to that secondary keyboard to get punctuation. And why they eliminated those buttons and just left that gray space, Patrice is showing it, is weird. Yeah. Like, why did they do that?
It's really weird.
And we're back. We're not frozen anymore. I thought this was an interesting picture. That's what an iPhone 1 looked like on the inside.
I don't want to see these pictures.
Why?
These interesting pictures that you've got.
Well, you've got a wireless microphone and a wireless audio pack for feedback loop. You can walk around and have a look, you lazy bastard. Just stand up and come around. Pick your desk. There we go. So on the left, you've got iPhone 1. On the right, you've got iPhone 8.
Incredible.
It is. I just love the fact that the iPhone 1 is wrapped in Captain Tape.
Yep.
Because of all the heat issues.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant.
It is incredible, isn't it?
Look at the uniformity of the new one. It just speaks volumes about where we are with kind of how that internal looks as good in the inside as it does on the outside.
I just can't believe that Jobs left that one on the left out. Because it doesn't look pretty, does it?
I think it was a revolutionary product, and actually, that's what it took to get out of the factory. And I think at that point, it was a case of, I dare say, the first few Apple Ones that left.
There is a bit of this, though, that makes me scream bullshit, because didn't the iPhone 1 not have a camera? Or have I got that wrong? Is that the iPad
1? No, the first iPhone already had a camera.
Yeah, it's the iPad 1 that didn't have a camera.
Two megapixels at 1.2.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah.
I was thinking the iPad 1. But yeah, that's the difference between the two. Amazing, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
One looks designed. One looks like it's a Trevor Bayliss device that's been made in the garden shed. It's a wind-up iPhone.
You've got to think that yellow pack is wrong, but I can't remember. Obviously, that's how I was in store when we were taking these things apart.
Adam's got
I can't remember that yellow battery pack at all. Just can't remember.
Well, no, that's Captain Tape. That's not a yellow battery pack. It's Captain Tape stuck onto it. Holding the QR code on. Yeah, Captain. That's definitely yellow Captain Tape. I'd know it anyway.
That has got a headphone jack.
And that has a headphone jack, so you know it's a one. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Not any ordinary iPhone jack, of course. The one that only takes Apple headphones.
Well, yeah, I've got the adapter here somewhere.
I love the fact.
We've all got the adapter somewhere.
The dongle. Even when it had a headphone jack, it needed a dongle.
I love the fact that while we were away and we were fixing everything, Will got a bit cold, so he went to put his coat on. To which I said, no, don't do that, dude, because I'll lose me continuity. And he actually wasn't going to put his coat on just purely for continuity. Like, continuity's an issue. We've just stopped because everything's frozen and continuity's an issue all of a sudden.
talking about the iPhone 1, it's still my favourite iPhone. The build quality was better than any other iPhone.
I wouldn't say that, Will. If you've got one in your hand and you put the vibration on or off, it feels awful. It feels so wrong. I recently sold one of my iPhones, and I remember being let down about how it actually felt. The actual aluminium thing is lovely. The actual phone itself is lovely. But that little vibration switch, horrible.
I liked it when you switched it onto mute and you got a little buzz back. I loved it. That was great. Cool. What do I know? Clearly. Sorry. Esteemed colleagues.
I was working in Exeter when I got my first iPhone, the very first one. And I remember cycling home from Apple Exeter. And I would stop for a pint on the way home, on the way back to my camper van. And being in a pub and being able to check out BBC News and all the other stuff and email and so forth, it was just totally revolutionary. It was just an awesome experience. And maybe that's the reason that it's still my favourite iPhone.
Well, to be fair though, Will, you could read news and stuff like that on WAP devices. But what was different was it was on a screen that looked like you could read it, and it was laid out so you could read it. And
exactly.
It was proper websites.
It only took 3 minutes for the page to load.
Yeah, true.
But do you remember WAP? I mean, what
it was amazing. But remember, yeah, we were happy just to have it. But I remember now, like, you would go to a web page, and it would really be about 3 minutes because it was Edge, and it was like, but it was still amazing, and we were happy to have it because we had nothing like it before.
You were over the moon when that little ear appeared, and then 3G came along, and when the ear appeared, you're like, oh, come on.
The pub I used to stop off at was the Blue Boar. I think it's Blue Boar in Exeter, and it was just so awesome. It was life changing almost. So I used to cycle back to my camper van, stop at the Blue Boar for a pint, check on the news, check on my email, download podcasts. Absolutely incredible. When you compare it to things like some of the Ericsson stuff, some of the Nokia stuff that was sort of still present at the time, even the Windows stuff, just a total revolution in mobile technology. And even now, my mum's got it. I gave my mum my iPhone 1, and she still uses it to today, and she loves it.
Brilliant. It was a cool time.
Yeah.
I remember my first one. I've still got my first one upstairs.
Have you?
Never get rid of that.
Good work.
No. Never get rid of it. Well done, Adam. And it still works, look. Advertising.
Yeah, look what Safari looks like.
Yeah.
Safari. Wow. Gorgeous.
And it's still loading.
It's still loading.
I feel like an old man. When I'm even older, I'll talk to my son and say, look at this phone, son. This is the iPhone.
He'll probably ask
one.
You, what is a phone?
Yes. It's a doorstop now or something, probably.
Well, I mean, Don McAllister buys them new for doorstops, so.
Yeah, I suppose he does, yeah.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UKIP2. They're awesome. We love them to bits. We say this every week, and you're sick and tired of hearing it, I'm sure, but we wouldn't be talking without them because they give us all the bandwidth that we need. They give us all the storage space that we need. The fact that you can go back and get the very first Mac show that we ever did with Will, Don McAllister, Kyle, and Dr. Happy Mac and me. The Mac Men Cometh, you can still get that and listen to it. It's right there, and you can enjoy it. But that's thanks to UK2. So please, please, please take your time to tweet out, thanks UK2 for supporting British Tech. And make sure you sign into your account using britishtechnetwork.com/UK2, and make sure you get the offer codes as well as, please, because they're very important to us. As are Hoya. If you would like to, if you would like to get your glasses, then go to podcast@hoya.co.uk and put in there where your nearest Hoya supplier is, please. And Mark and the team will get in touch with you and tell you, and they'll give you the red carpet treatment that you get because you're BTN. And my dad went to have my dad had a cancerous growth on his nose, nothing serious, but he had it removed the other week. And he went back to have the dressing taken off, and the lady was saying, "Oh, I need some new glasses." And you're the only one that does decent glasses. Well, now you mention it, yes, I do. And if you use BTN and you say BTN sent you and podcast@hoya.co.uk, then you'll get a special deal, and they'll do you a right good deal as well. So please check them out. They're important to us. There will be a new Spider 5 Express competition next week. I'll pick a winner from the last one next week, and then those two will go out because Darren still hasn't got his. It needs to go. I do apologise. But the third one will start next week and last for 4 weeks. Right. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Adam.
Oh, I didn't have my URL correct yet. I was lucky enough to get to try something that I've been wanting to try for a while. It is a game. It is an iOS connected game, and it is called Beasts of Balance. Beasts of Balance, and it's actually done by a UK company. I think it was a Kickstarter originally. Hopefully, I'm getting this right. I'm going to put a link in the chat. And what it is it's kind of like a Jenga style game, but updated with like iPad stuff, and it's got these really cool figures. What I was immediately impressed about it with is it's a little on the pricier side. I think it's around $100. Right. They are now in the Apple store, so Apple is actually carrying this. And what you do is you have this little, they call it a plinth. It's almost like a little stand, but it has, I think, like pressure or weight sensitivity. And you connect it via Bluetooth to this app. And the idea is you have a bunch of different creatures. You have a bunch of different elements that can influence those creatures. You have some extra bits that allow you to cross or migrate the different creatures. And so you set up the iPad app. You put this thing next to it. And then you have all these objects on the table. And they all have a little NFC chip in them. I think it's an NFC chip. And you hold it to it, and it will recognize the thing that you're about to add to the kind of stack. And what you're trying to do is stack these up and get them to balance. And as you add things, then stuff happens on the iPad. So you add these creatures to the land, and you have different areas. You have land, water, and air. And what you're trying to do is sort of you get points. Each creature is worth a certain number of points. You're trying to kind of keep everything in balance. So you're trying to balance the things physically in the physical world, but then you're also in this little virtual world trying to, you know, make sure that all the animals have kind of similar point values. Because what happens is as ones get larger or get influenced and get more points, the other creatures become jealous and they'll actually lose points. And so you can kind of see the points going on and back and forth. And then the other aspect to it that's kind of fun is you have this little cross, and you can cross-mix the creatures to kind of create new creatures. And then there's a little, I don't want to call it a Pokemon element, but basically you can start to collect these different kinds of creatures within the app. And so there's a bunch of aspects to the game. There's the balancing thing, trying to keep, you know, the stack going and get it higher and higher, and they're kind of odd-shaped. You're trying to kind of balance the points and earn the most points in the game. And then you're also trying to kind of collect these different creatures. So you're trying to see, okay, what happens if I mix the eagle with the octopus? What kind of creature do I end up with? And so it's just, we're having a lot of fun playing it. I'm really impressed by the quality of the pieces. Again, it's a little on the pricier side, but I think what you're paying for is, you know, this is not cheaply done. This is very well put together and built. And there's a lot of cool tech in here too. So it kind of, awesome. I'm a tabletop guy. I'm a tech guy. And so it kind of combines those two things for me. So I really like it a lot. We just got it. We've only played it a little bit. I'm hoping, you know, there's kind of the one game in it right now. I'm guessing, you know, again, this is totally just me speculating, but I'm guessing that they're going to tweak and add things. They already have a couple extra characters that you can go buy that add a new aspect to the game. So I think there's going to be kind of ways for them to continue to expand and and go upon the, you know, build upon the base game. But even that's right really now, cool. just the base game and the pieces and stuff like that, it's a lot of fun. So we're having fun with it. It's called Beasts of Balance. And I want to say, again, it's about, I think, $100 bucks.
So you're saying we there. So if you've got young children, because I can...
yeah, my kids are having fun with it.
But your kids are older, aren't they? They're teenagers.
Yeah, but I mean, we're a gaming family. Like I said, we do a lot of tabletop gaming. And it's just something we do as a family, sit around and play games. And, you know, this was a fun little addition. And you know, if you have kids, especially who are into technology, and it's fun to link the technology and have stuff going on the screen, but still... be playing, you know, sitting around a table as a family playing in the physical world, you know, and interacting with people. So it's a nice way of combining those two things. And again, it's just a lot of fun, and it's in the Apple Store now. So if you, next time you're at the Apple Store, you can check it out.
Cool. Well done, mate. Thank you very much. Good pick. Like that. Will, what do you have for us, mate?
Well, I've got two apps I'd like to highlight.
Okay.
One is for... the Mac, and you'll probably laugh at it, but please don't laugh at it. Give it a second chance. And the other is for iOS. So the first one is Aperture. Shut up.
No, I was going to find the web page there. You had me started. I typed AP before I realized.
Well, I don't like, is it Photos or whatever they call it?
No, I don't.
It's horrible.
Oh, shit. Yeah. But it's what people want, apparently.
I love Photos.
But I hated Aperture more.
Well, I know Aperture. I'm an Apple Aperture certified trainer. And I love it. And, you know, like when you're comfortable in an old pair of shoes or an old pair of slippers and stuff, and you're comfortable with it. And it's still totally functional. And with the new update to the new... whatever file system that they've gone to, it still works. It's fine. So I don't think you can buy it anymore. Can you buy it anymore?
No, you can't. You can't buy it. And it won't install on High Sierra.
It does. It
does not.
I've got it.
Kidding. No, does it install? It might allow you to use it, but I don't think it installs.
It does.
It does. Bloody hell.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I'm a terrible photographer. And I would never admit anything else.
But
you used to run courses on photography, Will. What are you on about?
<I don't. laughs> Well, I'm all good with the concept of photography, but the artistic part of it, I'm not so good. but I think there is a difference between the two, isn't there? You're like.
I know. I agree. I agree.
Can we do the iOS app? Come on.
I was enjoying talking about Aperture.
No, I know you were, dude, but I've got to drive to Moorgate Station in 2 hours.
Oh, I see. Okay. The other
I'd love
one.
To reminisce about Aperture and how shit it was, but and how I would never use it ever.
Well,
despite
okay.
the fact I bought it.
So there it is. Aperture is my first choice. My second. Hold on, Adam went on for it bloody ages about some nonsense.
Yeah, about a game that's still available to buy. Just available to buy. It's new. You're going on about a piece of software that's you've got me. You've got me doing it now. You bastard. You've got me. Right. Get on with it. Give the iOS app. Otherwise, I'm cutting you off.
Oh, okay. Chess with Friends.
That's going to dovetail really well into my cool thing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
right. Chess with Friends. It costs about, so you can get a free version, which comes with ads, or you can get a paid version, which is only about 70p or something, and allows you to play chess. I'm a massive chess player. You wouldn't think it. I know what you're thinking, but yeah, no, I'm a massive chess player, and it allows you.
Are you good?
I'm pretty good, I think. Yes.
Okay, good.
So my dad taught me chess, and I play chess every single day with one or two of my friends, and it's absolutely superb. So Chess with Friends. There we go.
Good man. Good pick. Adam has updated his pick. It's £69 if you want to buy it in the UK. Beastsofbalance.com. Good pick.
Yep.
Nice pick. 89 well euros. Good pick at the end, Will, you see.
And I'll throw in a bonus pick since we talked chess. If you have kids and they feel like they're intimidated by chess or you want to get them into it, there's a great game called No Stress Chess that uses cards to teach the moves. And you basically, it adds, it's a real easy way to get kids into playing chess.
Good one.
And then you can move on and play the regular. Yeah, obviously it plays the regular game because it's just a standard chess board, but it has these cards that teaches the moves and takes some of the stress out of, you know, having to figure out all the strategy, but you can slowly build up and learn it.
Brilliant. Good, mate. Thank you. Patrice, what have you got for us?
My pick today is an email client, my favorite email client, actually, done by the good folks over at Readle. I think they are in Ukraine, if I remember correctly. It's Spark. It's my favorite email app. Use it every day on all my devices. And they have just updated it with some really cool new features, namely sending later and also reminders. So they will you can actually say, I don't know, I send an email to my boss, and if he doesn't respond within, I don't know, 2 days, please remind me so that I can bug him again. It's really cool. It's, I don't know what it costs. It's free. Okay. So it's free, and it's one of the best, really one of the best email apps, if not the best. But I think that's, well, different people need different email apps.
I've got to say, since Google bought Sparrowmail and killed it, I've been really reticent to throw me weight behind any other email apps other than just using the one in OS X. I really struggle with that. And I look at this and I think, well, that's great. It's a free app. It looks great. It looks fully featured. But I'm scared of that, of it being
amazing.
Yanked away.
Yeah.
Bought and yanked away.
I mean, it's unlikely with Readle, it's unlikely that someone would buy just the app. If someone bought the company, well, that's still possible, but they have so many really good apps now that I don't think that's going to happen.
I use it as my default mail client on both Mac and my iPhone. It sits in my dock on both. So. Yeah.
James, you're not having two. Pick one. I've got to go.
No, but just very quickly, I know time's an issue. Thrifter.com is a great website for getting vouchers off good cool tech. Sometimes you get a $20 voucher or something else or something. It's really, really good. So with because I've gone on the Thrifter.com, there was a voucher for this camera. So I basically got another 10% off the camera, which is really good. It's by Anker, 720p wireless security camera. You can control it by your iPhone, so it's got pan, tilt, and zoom already built in. It's also got a two-way mic, so I've got dogs, and it means I can talk to my dogs and stuff. It's really good. So it's $49, and with a $10 off, $39 camera.
It's such a shame your connection's so shit, because it probably would look great, but it doesn't look good at the moment, if you're using it right now.
Oh, no, I'm not using it. It's a security camera, so it sits inside your house, and it lets you pan, tilt, and zoom. It's got night vision, and it's very good. And at that sort of price, I got it for $39. It's $49 on there, but if you go to thrift.com, keep your eye on that. There's loads of vouchers banging around. It's
okay, cool. Good one.
Keep track.
Thank you, mate. Superb.
No problem.
I was joking as well. You could have had two. I wouldn't have told you off. But thrift.com's okay. Excellent. Well done, mate. Thank you very much. Right, my cool thing. Now, if you're not very good at chess, then you're going to really enjoy this. It's called Really Bad Chess, and it's free. Okay? But here's what's cool about it. So basically, it adapts itself to how good you are at chess. So when you first start playing, you get a ranking of 15, and then if you win, you go up to 18, and if you lose, you go down to 13, I think, or 14. So it improves your ranking as to how good you are at chess. And what it does is it mixes the boards up. So instead of getting a standard chess board that's got pawns and king, queen, two bishops, two knights, two rooks, etc., it'll give you four queens and five bishops and three knights and one pawn and four rooks or whatever. And it'll mix the board up so that you get an absolute myriad. And the thing is, you don't have the same as the computer. So the computer can have a completely different mix-up of you. And it's weighted in your favor. And as you get better, you get less and less good pieces, and the computer gets more and more good pieces.
Uh-huh.
And it's really hard. Because I struggle with chess being dyslexic. It's trying to remember where his stuff is and see the board and be able to unpick it is quite tough. And I do like playing chess. But this, I find this harder than playing bloody chess. But it's supposed to be easier and it's supposed to help you learn because it helps you control the movements. But there you go. Really bad chess. It's completely free. And the ads aren't intrusive. And I think it's brilliant. Loads of fun. And I found it really taxing. Sit and concentrate and work it out. And as a good chess player, I think you'll probably find to start with, you'll hate it. Because it's so difficult to try and remember what's what and look at the other pieces. Because you think, well, I've only got two bishops that are going to attack me, and you haven't. You've got four bishops and four knights and four rooks that are going to attack you. So, really good. Really, really good. There you go. Really bad chess.
Love it.
In the Mac App Store. iOS Store, rather, sorry. iOS Store. That I wish was still in... there we go. Serendipity, iTunes. Right back to the start again, in iTunes. Thanks for email. Cheers. Where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
You can find me at maccast.com, also Maccast on iTunes or any one of your favorite podcast apps, and weekly on the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Will, where will you be?
BritishMac.com is where I'm at, and you can follow me...
Get it. It's all right, doesn't matter.
No,
I should have shown it earlier.
invent teleportation.
You got, is that what you're going to do this week?
Yes, I thought so.
So you've got a fallow week ahead then. You're going to invent teleportation.
Well, I thought I wouldn't mind.
It could be rather useful, you have to say.
Yeah.
That would be good. So,
I would use it.
Oh yeah, no, I'm getting it right. I get it now.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how to create teleportation has just kindly clicked with you?
Yep, I've got it. A bit like Einstein and the theory of relativity and all that sort of thing. Better looking, obviously. A little bit younger.
Well, no, but you'll be the same age as you are now. That won't help you. You can't change who you are, mate. That's it. You can get back to your younger self and give yourself some better advice, maybe, but...
Are we doing teleportation or time travel then?
Oh, no, we're doing teleportation, not time travel. Yeah, you got me there again. So we do. You're inventing teleportation.
Yes.
Week. That's what holds for you.
Yes, that's great, what I'm mate. That's what I'm up to this week. But you can...
Fantastic. So, well, can we
have a you can find me on BritishMac.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BritishMac.
Superb, mate. All right. Okay. Best of luck.
Yeah, good. Thank you. I need it.
Have you done any experiments yet? No?
With teleportation?
It's just come to you.
I've only just appeared here, haven't I?
Okay. Good.
Come over here for a pint, Will.
Okay. I'll be there in a moment.
Okay.
Cool.
Righto.
Come here for a glass of wine.
We'll look forward
I'll
to...
I'll be there too.
We'll look forward
I have
to,
food.
We'll look forward to a demonstration on next week's show of your work.
Okay.
You can show us your drawings and all that kind of stuff, yeah?
Well, where should I teleport to, do you think?
I'd start with the design first if I were you, mate. I'm just baby steps, you know. I'm
okay.
Just saying.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, great if you get a working machine, my neck, fantastic. But
I've got a plan.
Let's get you a napkin and a pencil first.
By next week, I will have teleported somewhere in the world.
At least as a test.
As a test.
That's hell of a game, mate. Well done. Super. I admire your ambition. Who's next?
Yeah, you used to have a go at me about leading it in bizarre directions.
What? Teleportation isn't.
Yeah, but you led it in that direction.
No, I did not. Patrice, where are you?
Every week here on the Mac Show, everything I do on thepatrice.com and in about 15 minutes outside with my dog.
Okay, fair enough. If you want to see Patrice outside in 15 minutes with your dog, you better have good vision or teleportation at your
disposal. I can help you with that.
James, where are you, mate?
You can find me on YouTube at RenBots. I post all my stuff there, and if you like to look at France from the aerial perspective, then you'll find plenty of stuff there. I'm about to launch my first little advert, and it will go live on there as well. So, yeah, pop along, RenBots. I'll be there.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. excuse me. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week with the Mac Show as normal at 4 p.m. Big Show will be here later on at 8 o'clock with Righty. It'll be on Hangouts, though, so it won't be with us, as I've got to go to work. But I'll be back on the Big Show next week. And Ricey's got some good special guests coming up. You going on the Big Show, Will? Or not?
I can do, yeah.
You might dial into that. You don't know yet. So yeah. Ricey doesn't know what's got in store for him.
Intellectual conversation, I think you'll find.
Absolutely. Inspiring. Yeah. Next week, we'll have the lighting rig back and everything will be back to normal. It's actually outside of that. So see you all next week. Thanks for listening.